Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, a couple of notes, then we'll get back to, obviously, a story a lot of people are talking about. Okay. I know Jason wants us to talk about the bucket list. It's kind of hard to do that right now on this particular day.
We'll have another day for that, though. I like the idea. We'll do that another day, though.
Yeah. He did make fun of Carburation Day, by the way.
I know. It's not Carburation Day. They don't have carburetors. It's all done with turbochargers and everything. I get it. I know. It's the heritage of the Indianapolis 500 that they still call it Carburation Day. He also mentioned, that he couldn't name, three people in IRL? Neither can I, because there is no IRL anymore.
That's it. Make fun of the listeners now. Well done.
Listen, okay. No. Wait a minute. This is a guy who's put my face on T-shirts left and right, and you've enjoyed every minute of it. This is my chance to get even.
That's not the genesis of the show, Kevin.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't read the rule book.
Getting even with the listeners. It's to engage the listeners and
all in good fun.
And remind them how important they are.
All in good fun.
Jermaine Marshall's leaving the Nittany Lion basketball program. He will get his degree in August. He will then opt to attempt to play in Europe. He has a family he wants to take care of. So instead of taking his fifth year of eligibility, he has decided to end his eligibility at Penn State, get his degree, and then play in Europe. Some people say, well, he can go to any program he wants. He's not going to do that. He wants to play professionally to get money for his family. Also, the one plays for Penn State basketball will be as follows. They will be playing at Northwestern, at Michigan, home with Iowa, home with Wisconsin. That means Michigan and Northwestern will not be coming here this year. It also means that Penn State will not be going to Madison or Iowa City. So the one plays are Wisconsin, Iowa here, at Michigan, at Northwestern. Also, the Big Ten is adding the Holiday Bowl to the mix. That's a great move. That was always the one bowl game that got knocked out of the Big Ten rotation that I regretted seeing go. Also expect the Pinstripe Bowl in New York at Yankee Stadium to be added to the Big Ten rotation as well.
When was the last time Penn State went to the Holiday Bowl? I remember
1989. Was it 1989? Yes, beat BYU, rang up 50.
I knew you would know that in a New York minute.
Yes. The Capital One Bowl, the Outback Bowl, the Little Caesars Bowl, Pinstripe Bowl, Holiday Bowl, which will get the number three pick. Holiday Bowl will get the three. They'll then work a split arrangement with the Music City Bowl. They'll work a split arrangement with the Gator Bowl. And they will probably keep one of the Texas Bowls. In all likelihood, it'll be the Heart of Texas Bowl and the Cotton Bowl. All right?
I have two finals for you in Major League Baseball. San Diego, a winner over Baltimore, 8-4. And Cleveland thumps Philadelphia 10-4. Bottom of the ninth, really Houston not. Leads Detroit 7-5. Top of the eighth, it's Chicago 7, the White Sox 7, and Minnesota 4. And Atlanta trailing Arizona early on, top of the second, 1-0.
I wonder if there is something wrong with Cole Hamels.
Why not? Every other starter's got issues this year.
We're going to take a break here, and then we'll come back and we'll get back to the SI story, and then we're hoping to tap into Bill O'Brien's teleconference at the bottom of the hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We want to see you in
Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf is going to make it impossible.
Impossible.
For you to say no to these huge discounts. Show off your individuality with a 2013 Kia Soul starting at $15,929. Sunbury Motors Kia ordered extra 39 MPG 2012 Kia Optima Hybrids, which are discounted $5,047. Plus, you get 0% financing for 60 months. Built in the USA, 2014 Kia Sorentos start at just $22,993. And Sunbury Motors Kia has 18 in stock now. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And at Sunbury Motors Kia, the discounts are so huge, it's going to be impossible to say no. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf. And at sunburymotors.com.
All right, welcome back. Mentioned Jermaine Marshall foregoing his fifth year of eligibility. He's going to graduate in August, get his degree, and then he wants to play idealistically in Europe professionally. As a young family, he wants to take care of. That's why he felt he had to make this move now instead of waiting a year. The one plays in basketball set at Northwestern, at Michigan, home with Iowa, Wisconsin. Everybody else is a home and away. And of course, was there any other story here? Oh, yeah, that's right. It's the Sports Illustrated story. At a time when weekly magazines are really on the DOA list, I mean, Time and Newsweek used to be big, big deals. Now they're just, I mean, they're old news. Sports Illustrated continues to try and at least break some ground somewhere and keep themselves relevant and up front. I don't know whether this does that or not, but look, the first thing Bill O'Brien talks about all the time, and Joe Paterno felt the same way, you know, Ed DeCellis, Bruce Parkhill, Patrick Chambers, you know, everybody I know, they want first-class everything for their athletes. First-class facilities, first-class academic support, first-class coaching, first-class medical attention. Every CEO of a corporation builds a team around them. Every one of them does. Okay? Just look to your own company. If you work at Geisinger, the CEO has built Wise Markets. The CEO has built the organization around them. Sunbury Motors has built its organization. Okay? Hilscher's General Store has built its organization. Brewer's Outlet has. Purdy Insurance has built its organization. Some organizations are bigger than others. Sunbury Broadcasting has built an organization. The CEO in charge tries to build the organization with people around them that they feel themselves in their management style fits. Doesn't matter the business, large or small, that is the nature of how it operates. Joe Paterno had his own management style, a deep sense of loyalty, and it worked for 46 years. That's how you win 409 games and you graduate better than 80% of your players. Okay? It works. But any new coach or CEO or general manager is entitled to build their own team. Sometimes they look at existing personnel and say, you know what? Now let's take radio. Right? Somebody comes in, they start running Sunbury Broadcasting. They listen to Mark Lawrence in the morning and say, you know what? I don't really know Mark that well, but you know what? I love his show, and we got to keep Mark. Okay? So you can step into a situation with existing personnel that have a great reputation and say, you know what? That individual is going to fit how I work. Bill O'Brien did that with Larry Johnson, Ron Vanderlinden. He then hired seven other coaches that he knew fit how he wanted to do, fit his style, fit everything he wanted. When Ted Roof left, he then promoted John Butler to defensive coordinator, hired Anthony Midget. But that's just part of the organization. He maintained Todd Culca and Brady Rourke in academic. Now, Brady has since left for Syracuse, by the way, to head up their program. And they added in Kristen Lundy. And the academic support people have done a great job, and so he's worked that way. Okay, he had somebody who was in charge of video who just decided to leave on his own. So he promoted Jevin Stone, who was already on staff. When he had an opening of director of football operations, he took Kirk Deal, who was in the equipment room, had done a lot of things organizationally over the years, and he promoted Kirk from within to director of football operations. Spider Caldwell kept him. Danny Sowash was added to replace Kirk downstairs. When it came to the training staff, Tim Bream, Penn Stater, 18 years, impeccable experience, Chicago Bears, he decided to hire him. Now, part of the review at the end of the year was to review everything of where it was and where it is and where he wants to go with it. And that included, by the way, a review of me. All right? Okay? He was entitled to do whatever he wished with me and with Jack Ham. All right? So he was told to review the entire operation. Wayne Sebastianelli is a great physician and a great surgeon and a great guy, by the way. I have nothing but the highest things to say about him personally and professionally. What he did for two of my sons, they're both 100% in life, go directly to him. And I will forever trust my family in his hands. Pete Seidenberg is also an excellent physician. Scott Lynch is also an excellent surgeon. Just like there is not one announcer in the world, there isn't one doctor in the world either that's of great quality. And you have to do things in your own way, in your own style. Look, I ended up sitting in the chair next after a guy that in our business is considered to be a legend. And that, of course, is Fran Fischer. All right? And I don't do the games the same way Fran does. And by the way, you may love how Fran did the games far better than how I do the games. And that is your own personal preference, which I respect. But I also had to go about and do the games and take care of my business in my way that I felt comfortable with, and not just, you know, and do things the same way he did it. Bill has tried to build his organization the same way. Pete Seidenberg is an excellent physician. Scott Lynch is an excellent physician. And I'll tell everybody point blank, there wasn't one practice in the spring where there were fewer than two doctors there. Usually there were three, but never fewer than two doctors. And Tim Bream has an outstanding reputation. Just like Doug Aukerman came into Penn State basketball, because that's the direction Ed DeChellis wanted to go in, and Aukerman was a great hire, that flies completely under the radar. And doctors are not at every Penn State basketball practice. Usually the trainer, Jonathan Salazar, is the guy there, with doctors there sometimes. It depends on schedules and how it works. And doctors for basketball do not travel every game. If something were to happen on site, the opposing team does have their doctor there and available. Doctors always travel football. Doctors are at every practice already. Penn State is covered. And to suggest that the quality professionals they have now are substandard is absolutely inaccurate and very unfair to them. And again, I'm somebody who thinks nothing but the highest of Wayne Sebastianelli. And the officials, the doctors are around all the time. And this is the way most people operate. And because it's, you know, it's a different model than how Joe operated worked perfectly for how Joe operated. and justifiably. And then same thing with this. So to me, there's more to this about the politics at Penn State. Because Bill O'Brien, his number one priority always is the kids. Always the kids. And he talks about that all the time. Why would he even consider anything less than the best for them? Because that's not his nature. News next, then the teleconference, bottom of the hour.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Bill O'Brien's going to be talking with the media about the article in Sports Illustrated. Now Kevin's monitoring right now. And we'll find out and get his take on what's going on. And that should be starting really any minute, correct? I do believe. And when it does get started, we'll jump right in there with it. So, maybe he'll get on there and they'll talk about the various issues. And, of course, we've talked about that already today here on the show. I believe we're just about set to go to it, correct? Kevin? I believe I lost Kevin there.
Sorry, just continuing to monitor here.
Oh, you are? Okay. All right. So we'll take care of that business until we get to that. Penn State primary care physician attends all practices and games. Sunday examines every player who played the previous day and others in need of attention. Orthopedic physician attends at least one practice each week. Wednesdays, all games available post-practice. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, if necessary. Sunday, if available, or is available, to examine all players. Iowa does primary care physician is available to attend practice, see players post-practice Monday through Friday. Sunday is available to examine all players. Orthopedic physician available post-practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Sunday is available to examine all players. LSU, primary care physician available post-practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. On Sunday is available to examine all players. Orthopedic physician available post-practice Tuesday and Wednesday. Sunday is available to examine all players. Michigan State, primary care physician is available to attend all practices. See players post-practice Monday through Friday. On Sunday is available to examine all players. The orthopedic surgeon is available post-practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. On Sunday is available to examine all players. Okay. Northwestern, primary care physician is available to attend practice and see players post-practice Monday through Friday. On Sunday is available. Orthopedic physician is available post-practice once or twice a week. On Sunday is available to examine all players. Nebraska. Primary care physician is available to attend practices and see players post-practice Monday through Friday. On Sunday is available to examine all players. Orthopedic physician available post-practice Tuesday and Wednesday. On Sunday is available to examine all players. I mean, these policies are all relatively close to being the same. And, of course, this issue came up in Sports Illustrated in the, I guess it's out tonight. I guess it's out tonight. So, how are we doing there, Kev?
Still waiting.
Still waiting. All right. Okay. Well, I know earlier they had a teleconference with Jermaine Marshall in which he talked about his decision to leave after his and not for, you know, to forgo his fifth year. He should get his degree, I think, in August, and then he wants to play idealistically in Europe. And Patrick Chambers was on after that. And now this one comes up here. And once it gets started, we'll join in, and they, everybody gets to listen for themselves. So that's what we're doing right now as he continues to monitor for the start. But that has been obviously the big issue of the day. And we told you about the one place for basketball as well. Northwestern, Michigan, they'll be on the road. Wisconsin, Iowa will be here. And then, of course, the but Penn State's put out already, you know, documentation on how they do this, along with Iowa, LSU, Michigan State, Northwestern, and Nebraska. There are two more I think they're waiting to get a hold of. And when they forward that, when they get that, they'll forward that as well. So. Doing okay there, Kev? I think he's still in monitor mode.
I want to say, in detail about specific personnel, I will not talk in detail about specific personnel, just so we're all clear on that. But here's what I will talk about. I was hired here. I was brought here to run, in my opinion, one of college football's finest programs at one of America's finest universities. I view that responsibility as very, very large, a big responsibility. When I was hired here, I was asked to make observations on the program right away, some that took longer than others. Some observations I made right away, some took 14, 15 months to make. And those observations, and then on top of that, to go ahead and make recommendations to my bosses, I take that responsibility very seriously. But at the end of the day, I'm a big boy, and I have understood from the outset that those responsibilities are mine. At the top of that responsibility list, at the top, is taking care of this program's players. The student athletes in this football program are the number one priority to me. Their health and safety is the number one priority to me. It's not near the top. It's not around the top. It's at the top. And for anyone to suggest or perhaps outright accuse that anyone within Penn State's athletic program would do otherwise is irresponsible, reckless, and wrong. And you may believe that I'm the only that I'm only sitting here addressing the media with that comment, but I mean for anyone at Penn State, anyone in the media, anyone, I'm including anyone, to say such a thing is preposterous. In order to fulfill my role as the head football coach, I also need to assemble what I feel is the right team. The right team, the right team of coaches, the right team of strength coaches, the right team of academic people, my recommendations there, the right team of administrative assistants, the right team of recruiting personnel, the right team of janitors. These are the things that are under my responsibility as the head football coach at Penn State, and including my recommendations and observations of the medical staff. That is part of my responsibility as the head football coach at Penn State. And I want people to understand something here. This does not mean that I always choose who is the most qualified or recommend who is the most qualified in a particular craft or role, but I do and will always recommend or choose, as it relates to my coaching staff, who best fits into the organization and supports our direction and way of doing things. That's what I want to say right off the top, and now I'll take questions.
Thank you, Coach. We're going to start with questions today from Rich Scarcella. Phil, how does the level of care at Penn State compare to places where you've coached previously?
Rich, it is the same, if not better, than everywhere that I've been and at numerous schools around the country as we speak right now. We will have a primary care physician at every single practice. We'll have a primary care physician even in the off season that's located right near here. We will have an orthopedic surgeon that will be here quite a bit, and they won't be at out there at every single practice, but they'll be in the offices, they'll be in the training room, they'll be around. They will be here all the time in some instances. And that is, to me, comparable or better than just about everybody in the country and everywhere that I've been.
Joe Giuliano?
Yeah. Hey, Bill. Dr. Sebastianelli had been in his role for 21 years, and I think a lot of people really didn't understand the reasoning when he was replaced back in February. Can you shed any light on, you know, what your working relationship was with the doctor for the last year, and why you decided to move forward?
I believe that there was no problem with the medical care last year, 20 years ago, or now. I believe that there was no problem with the medical care. I said that. I've said that over and over again to my bosses. Okay? What I try to do is assemble the right team that believe in the same things, that behave the right way, the way that I see that the program should be run. I make those observations. I make those recommendations. And so that's what I did. I'm not going to get into, Joe, all of the things that I observed or recommended. That's a personnel issue. And at the end of the day, I think what needs to be said here, too, is that Wayne Sebastianelli is still the head of Penn State sports medicine. He's in charge of Penn State sports medicine. So I'm not going to go down the road of personnel decisions or personnel observations that I made. That's not fair to anyone involved. And so that's my answer to that question.
All right, thanks, Bill.
Gennaro Armas?
Yep, Bill, you've referenced several times over the last month now the importance of the Penn State community to be unified. I'm wondering how you view this story in light of some of the broader issues that aren't maybe directly related to football referenced in the article.
Look, Gennaro, I appreciate the question. Look, I'm just trying – for the past 16 months that I've been here, along with my staff, and everybody that works in this building, along with the players at Penn State, we're just trying to do our best. We're trying to do our best in the classroom. We're trying to do our best in the weight room. We're trying to do our best in the practice field. We're trying to do our best on the game field. That's what we're trying to do. We're recruiting what we believe are fantastic kids. We have fantastic guys in this program. We've got a hell of a coaching staff. We've got people that work in this building that are the best that I've ever been around. And we're just trying to do the best for Penn State. And at the end of the day, I wish people would see that and understand that. That's what we're trying to do. And I'm, you know, at the end of the day, it can get frustrating, but at the same time, I want people to understand that the number one priority to myself and our staff here at Penn State are our players. We have a deep connection with our players. We are battling an uphill battle. We are at 65 scholarships, 67 scholarships. You think for one second I would jeopardize the health and safety of this football team with 65 kids on scholarship? That's preposterous.
Bob Flounders?
Bill, you have a wealth of experience at the college level before you got to Penn State, being at Georgia Tech, Maryland, and Duke, but you've also been with the Patriots for a number of years. I was wondering, in your opinion, Bill, is there a difference in the dynamic of the relationship between the head trainer and the team doctor on the NFL and the college level? And is the NFL model maybe something you would like to see Penn State maybe move a little bit closer to?
I think the model that we have here right now, Bob, which is really the same model that we had last year, my first year here, is the model that is appropriate for Penn State. I believe in that model. I believe in the model that we have right now, which we sent to Sports Illustrated. We sent you guys that know me, our beat writers that have been around me now for a year. I'm not sitting in this office trying to hide. I sent what we sent from Penn State, our medical synopsis to Sports Illustrated. That was not in the article. We had our dean of the medical school had significant amount of quotes. That was not in the article. I spent much time on Sunday on the phone with Sports Illustrated back and forth. I didn't have any quotes in that article. And to me, what that article was to me was a character assassination on Dave Joyner. That's what that article was. And it wasn't anything other than that. The care for our players medically is superb.
Neil Rudell?
Bill, when you took the job, did you anticipate some level of undermining because of the situation that existed when you got there? And has it exceeded that?
I didn't... Neil, I didn't anticipate anything. I came into the job with a good deal of experience, albeit no head coaching experience. But I came into the job with a lot of experience, having worked for a lot of great people. And I had just worked for, in my opinion, the best head coach in the National Football League, and I had worked for fantastic college coaches. So all I tried to do was come in here and be myself and try to observe and do what was right for the players. Every single day. How could anyone anticipate being undermined? We're all trying to win football games and graduate players. Like who would undermine that? I don't even think in that world. I'm not even in that realm.
I mean, do you feel you are being undermined?
No, I don't. I come to work every day, Neil. I work with our staff. I work with our players. I try to do the right thing for Penn State. I guess I'm naive. I don't think any – why would anyone undermine us? Like, what would they want to undermine?
Mark Wogenrich?
Yeah, quickly, Bill, could you address Garrett Lerner part of that story?
Garrett Lerner, you read the story. Garrett Lerner obviously was burned with the stim machine. We treated Garrett Lerner. I believe that Garrett Lerner believes in the fact that we treated him well here at Penn State. I'm not a doctor, Mark, so I can't get into the specifics. I mean, I just know that Garrett Lerner is a fantastic kid that believed in the way he was treated here at Penn State.
Mark Brennan?
Bill, this is about as proactive as I could remember Penn State, the athletic department, being toward any controversy in terms of coming out and forcefully saying stuff. Does this mark sort of a change in your view from the way maybe things have been handled?
Look, Mark, I'm just – at the end of the day, I'm just a guy that, along with our staff, we're just guys – and women in this football program that are just trying to do the best for Penn State. So when we feel like there are things out there that just aren't accurate, that are way off base, I believe as a university we need to argue that and fight that and not take it lying down. And that's the way I feel about this. And so I don't know. Somebody told me to call into you guys. So I'm calling in because I'm here to answer questions, and that's what I've done. I do not hire and fire doctors. I don't know anything about being a doctor. I just know that I'm in charge of this football program, and I have to observe every aspect of this program to do what's right for our players. And that's what I've done from the day I got here, and then I make recommendations up the chain.
Nate Bauer?
Bill, one of the issues raised in the article that they take issue with that Dr. Lynch can't practice, I guess, at Mount Nittany. But as I understand it, it's not a complicated procedure to have standing at Mount Nittany. Is there any push to allow him to be able to practice there?
I don't get involved in that, Nate. That's not my realm. That's not my job description. All I know is that whether it's Dr. Lynch or whatever we will have in place over at Mount Nittany, which is 3 minutes away from our field, we will have people here at a moment's notice if we need that. My point is that the operation of our medical staff here is no different than it's ever been.
Frank Badani?
Bill, could you talk a little bit about the reaction to players on your squad when they heard about the article, saw the article? Have you been able to gauge that so far?
I think our players here, Frank, to be honest with you, having been here for 16 months and having had to deal with so many different things, I give a lot of credit to our players. I mean, I've said it over time and time again. The main reason why I'm here is because of our players. I absolutely cannot state that enough, what I feel about our players. I feel that these are fantastic kids, and I feel that they do a great job of focusing on the task at hand, which right now for them is developing their own individual skill sets, their own individual strength levels, their own individual conditioning levels, so that they can be the best they can be at training camp. And also, many of them are taking classes, so they're trying to get ahead academically. These players ignore the noise. They don't. They feel, to a man, our players here feel that they're being well taken care of in our training room.
Mark Dent?
Hey, Bill. Just to kind of go back up to, I think Janelle was asking earlier about the unity and everything with regards to this article. And what in your power do you think that you can do to kind of, precipitate or endorse unity to the best that you can?
Look, Mark, you know, I answered this with Gennaro. I'm not here. I'm not the unity coach. You know what I mean? I'm not the coach of unity. I'm the football coach. It's my job to do the best job I can for the football program as long as I'm the head football coach here. I'm not the unity coach.
Mike Gross?
Hi, Bill. What do you feel was the motivation for this? I know you said something about a vendetta against Joyner.
Wait a minute now. I didn't say anything about a vendetta against Joyner. I just read the article, just like you guys did, and I felt like Dave Joyner, who's, I think, a first-class individual, I think he's doing the best job he can in a very difficult situation, and I feel like his character was attacked in that article. I didn't say anything about a vendetta.
Okay,
Don't put words in my mouth. I'm sorry. I didn't say a word about a vendetta. Hey, Stephanie, how many more questions are we taking?
We have six.
Six? No, we got three.
All right, we got three then.
Three more.
Scott Brown, let's go.
Bill, if you had to do much damage control specifically with guys who have signed or guys you're recruiting now, and what have you told
no.
them? Either?
No. No.
Travis Johnson?
Nelson suggested you guys did a little bit of benchmarking over the winter, looking at other programs and kind of how their medical staffs are organized and that sort of thing. And the information that he just released not too long ago, it seems like Penn State compares very favorably to other Big Ten schools and other top schools. I'm just curious if you had any role in that, you know, reaching out to other schools or any role in that benchmarking process, if any.
No, I didn't have any role in that. I urge Tim Bream, and I just urge our medical staff to always look for the best way of doing things. That's all I do. I'm not a doctor. I'm not in charge of the doctors. I just urge them to always be cutting edge, looking for things to help our players.
Derek LaVars?
Bill, how did the transition to the new medical team go during spring practice? Were there any adjustments needed to be made, or did everything go pretty smoothly, did you think?
I thought it was fantastic. I thought that these guys were here. They were very receptive to our players. Our players were very receptive to them. And I think it was very, very smooth, and our players were well taken care of, as they will be into the future.
Last question, Travis Johnson. Donnie Collins?
All right.
I'm here, Steph, if I can.
Who is it?
Dave Jones.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Dave.
I'm going to read you a quote a couple hours ago, I believe, from Anthony Lebrano. I didn't talk to him. This is what he said. He said he was concerned by what he sees as a turn more toward an NFL-type model for medical care, and this is his quote. The fear is that in becoming more like the NFL, there might be more of a rush to get the student back on the field. Is that a risk we're willing to take? Do you have any reaction to that at all?
I don't know where anyone can just say a quote about something that they know nothing about. I don't understand. I don't comprehend it. I don't understand how someone can make a quote about something that they know nothing about, and then the quote is not true. The quote is not true. We have a model that is used by many, many Division I schools across the country. It is the model that we've used here. So I don't know how anyone who's not involved with this program can make a quote like that. I can't even comprehend that, David.
Does that constitute the undermining that someone mentioned?
I don't, who in the world would try to undermine us? Like that, whoever is, if there's somebody out there trying to undermine us, they need to look in the mirror. I mean, why in the world would you try to undermine something that is good? We've got fantastic kids here. We've got great academics. We've got, a fantastic fan base. Like, I can't even comprehend that, David, why somebody, I don't know. You'd have to ask somebody else.
Okay. Thanks, Bill.
You got it.
Coach, do you have time for one more, or do you need to go?
Yeah, one more.
Jeff Rice.
I got my son's Little League game in 15 minutes, so if I'm late to that, I might be divorced.
Jeff Rice?
Bill, in the time that you've been at Penn State, you know, since you got here 16 months ago, have parents or players' families asked questions, like during recruiting visits, about the medical facilities? Do you take them around and show them? And what kind of feedback, what kind of feedback do you get from them even before this story came out?
Whether it's recruiting or whether it's, our current players and their parents, they are more than welcome. I've seen parents upon parents in our training room. I mean, Kyle Carter's mom's been in our training room. I mean, you go right down the list. Michael Mowdy's dad was in our training room, mom and dad. You know, you can go right down the list of guys that have been injured or parents that have had questions. We are very open to the parents. I mean, I've spoken to, just on other subjects today alone, I've spoken to three parents. So, yeah, we definitely educate our parents as best we can on all aspects of the program.
And that's that.
All right. That was very interesting. All right. He better get to his Little League game, and we'll wrap it up. Well, at about, I think it's safe to say that I think you heard in different tones Bill and I on the same page today, I think. Right, Kevin?
Different tones is a very good way to describe it.
Well, no, look, I don't, you know what? I don't blame him for being angry about this, because from day one, when you're a coach of a team, okay, you want the best of everything for them, including obviously your medical treatment. And there, I can tell you in no uncertain terms, players have not been rushed back into anything around here. I can tell you that. I know. I see it. I know. Okay, why were there a list of guys that didn't participate in the blue-white game? Okay? They didn't want them out there. They were hurt, so they didn't play. I mean, do you think they didn't want to have Kyle Carter back at the end of the season?